Welcome to Wise Lives for another episode. I'm really excited this afternoon to be joined by my friend Mary Wren, and we're here just to have a conversation this afternoon about what it means to be well. I've known Mary now for a number of years. You've been a Christian a long time, is that fair to say? And you are also a medical doctor in the city, so you come with a whole load of wisdom. That's why we thought it'd be great to get you on Wise Lives. I mean, truly, you really do, Mary. I always really appreciate our conversations together. And I'd love to just ask you about your passion for people to be well. And what that means, and that's fascinating from your perspective of being a medical doctor as well.
It is, yeah. I mean, I suppose like all medics, we, you know, I grew up with all the medical training and all the emphasis on sort of physical health and drugs and surgery and all the different practical things that we can do to help people. But right back to training, I knew that there was more to wellness than just the physical bit. Yeah. And that was because I was a Christian when I was training, but also I became aware that so much of the physical bit didn't answer problems for people.
Yes.
So it's been my whole life's journey, really, to look at wholeness. So spiritual, mind, emotions, and the body all together in a package, and how those things interact and bring wellness and wholeness for people. So not just the physical bit, looking at the whole package of things for people.
Yeah. I remember hearing you once say medicine, even though both of us have a great respect for medicine, cannot actually make people well. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, well, do you know, I've come in a bit of a circle with that. So I came to a point, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago, where I was really investigating God's supernatural intervention. I'd been out to Nigeria. I'd seen major miracles of healing where people with cancers and paralyzed from the waist down had supernaturally become well as people were prayed for them and as God intervened. So I got very excited about the supernatural healing for people. And at that time I was quite ill myself. I was getting lots of heart rhythm problems, and I'd already tried the medical bit. I'd tried medication, I'd tried surgery, but still my heart would go into funny rhythms and made me feel really ill and was quite restrictive. So I had this faith, you know, that God would intervene, and that I went out to Nigeria with that in mind, that he would intervene and I'd be prayed for, and it didn't happen. And I felt like God said it's actually about something else. And that was part of a journey for me, starting to think, well, no, I can't just go and be in the church and pray. There's more to it than that. And so my life since then has been this journey of keys to wholeness, keys to health. And actually, maybe I'll tell the story about my heart, that I actually started to realise that I wanted physical healing. I wanted God to just immediately fix it for me so that I'd be well. I started to realise and understand that actually I had a whole load of fear in my life. I had fear from my childhood, anxiety, panic. I was frightened of dying, stuff that I just hadn't addressed. And I started a process of unpacking that and realising what God said was true about me, and that I was not to fear, I was to trust completely in him, I was to change how I thought. That was a long process, it was hard work. But at the end of it, one day I knew that fear had gone and my heart got better.
Wow.
And from that I realised that actually if God had healed me physically at that point in Nigeria, I'd have been physically well. But actually I was still left with a whole load of other stuff that kept me bound. Yes. So this was about me being whole. This was about not just the physical, it's something else as well. And then go forward a few more years, and I'd got massive fibroids, which is like overgrowth of the womb lining. And so the point where they were pressing on my bowel and my bladder, and again, I believed God could intervene, that I could be healed. I was prayed for and nothing happened. And I felt God say, trust the surgeon. So I went and I had surgery, a skilled surgeon in Sheffield. He was amazingly skillful, seeing to everything. And I made a really quick recovery from that. And I've come like this full circle of, it's not just medicine. Yes. It's not just supernatural intervention. It's lots of things that God can heal through the skill of a surgeon, through an antibiotic, through medical wisdom and creativity. All ideas are from God, including medical ideas.
Yes.
He can heal by supernatural intervention, or often I've come to realise it's through things in the middle. It's through things like dealing with our emotional stuff, dealing with our fears, particularly changing how we think, bringing our thinking into line with how God says it is rather than how the world around us says it is, confessing stuff. You know, there's a consequence to our sin. We don't like that, particularly in the UK, I think. Nigeria, yeah, they'd go and confess their sin and be healed. So it's a whole package of things.
Yeah. So for you, Mary, what does it mean to be well, if we talk about wholeness and wellness?
Yeah. I think it means the different bits of me being aligned with how God intends it to be. So you could take that physically and say, you know, God created my physical body. He knit me together. He's put all the different bits and chemicals in place. He wants them to work as he designed them to work. He wants me to eat well. He wants me to love my body. So wellness for the physical bit of me, he wants that. But he also wants wellness for my mind. And he wants me to be thinking in line with how he says things are and what he says is best. And, you know, I have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? That might mean that I have to lay down some of my own ways of thinking and how I've learned to believe. And that's affected by the world around me, my family, my upbringing and social media and all sorts of things. And I might need to lay that down and say, actually, I'm going to choose to believe how God says things are so that my mind is well, so that my mind is lined up with his word and his truth. My emotions, you know, he says, don't fear. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. He doesn't say we won't have trouble, but he says, don't worry about it. Don't be fearful. So if I am fearful and anxious, then I'm not totally well. So there might be some stuff there that I have to address. And spiritually, he wants me well. So he wants me not holding on to unforgiveness and bitterness and unresolved anger and stuff from my family and my past and my generations that might be affecting me spiritually. And he wants me to be socially well. He wants me to be interacting and in community, and he wants me to have purpose, so giving out to other people. And it's a whole package. Wellness is more than just our physical bodies, but we tend to focus on our physical bodies, especially in the West, I think.
It's interesting because as humans, we have a tendency to compartmentalise, don't we? And we see problems in boxes.
Yeah, we do.
I have a sick stomach, or...
Yeah.
And often people struggle with understanding the whole thing.
Yes.
But I know you and I have often reflected on the fact that, for example, unforgiveness can make somebody physically very unwell.
Yeah.
And unresolved emotional issues of the heart, for example, can have a huge effect on our physical body.
Yeah.
So it's with wisdom we understand this.
Yeah, I mean, maybe give an example of a patient that I've seen. And I'll maybe say it in a way so that person can't be identified. But, you know, I mean, I see a lot of students because I work in an area where there are a lot of students come to see me, and that, you know, they often come with physical things. So, for example, a student comes with a big flare up of their eczema, you know, nasty, sore, dry skin everywhere. And there's something physical to see. Maybe if they're coming to the well, they might have asked for prayer on a Sunday, you know, to get the eczema better. I can give them some steroid creams or some moisturising creams to try and help. But when I talk to them, I find out that actually it's flared up because they're really stressed about their exams coming up. which is, we think that's normal, don't we? It's normal to be a bit stressed about exams coming up, but actually they're really, really stressed about the exams. So they're feeling anxious and they're not sleeping well. And we know that anxiety and stress make you more likely to get a flare-up of eczema. But then if I talk to them a bit further, I can find out that actually, well, why does that make you so stressed, the exams? And it turns out that, you know, they actually get their value from achievement. And they're frightened of failing because they feel that if they fail, that they're somehow of less value. So I've now got to the point where, okay, you know, not in the surgery necessarily, but in some situation, I can talk to them about, well, what does actually God say about you? What does he say about success and value and worth? It's not what we achieve that gives us worth. It's what he says about us that gives us worth. So maybe you need to confess that. Maybe you actually need to say, do you know, I've been believing lies about myself. I've been believing what people say and what I've thought rather than what you say. And I need to confess that because that's wrong. And I need to line up with what you say about me, which is that I'm loved and I'm precious and valued, whatever. And then the exams are in proportion and then the eczema gets better.
Yes. So, do you see that regularly, Mary? Do you see a shift in thought patterns leading to physical bodies getting well?
I mean, I think in the surgery that some people are more open to that than others, and everybody wants a quick fix.
Yes.
And I think we sometimes want a quick fix in the church.
Yes.
You know, we want to be prayed for and we want it better. We don't want to change our diet. We don't want to think differently. We don't want to put the effort in. We don't actually want to admit that we're proud or unforgiving or whatever it is, because that's hard and it involves being vulnerable. So I think we all want quick fixes. So I try and pick out the people who actually I can see really want to change something and are open to that.
I notice that often as I suppose we've journeyed with people together, you're a big fan of people taking responsibility.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And even at a young age, being empowered to do so.
Yeah.
If somebody was listening, say a student or a young adult today, and realised, maybe I'm not very well, and a lot of the stuff you're talking about, they would struggle with, maybe their identity, their mental health.
Yeah.
Where would they start, Mary, to begin to live well?
Yeah. Ooh, where to start? I mean, maybe I can go back a little bit to my own story, if that's okay, because sometimes stories are helpful. So I was a student when I first started to be unwell. I had glandular fever, and then I had a slipped disc, and then I had problems with my heart starting off. And I found that really difficult. You know, what do you do with that? And I couldn't get to my lectures, and I found that really frightening. So for a while, I didn't actually do anything because I didn't feel like I could talk about that at church. I felt like I was supposed to look like I was okay. But then I did start to talk to a lady that I trusted. She was an older lady who I'd met through the Christian Union. And I started to talk to her and I started to unpack a little bit what that fear was about and what had been going on in my life. And that was the start of a journey. So I think finding someone, doesn't have to be someone medical, but someone you trust that you feel you can talk to. Maybe someone a bit older or a bit more experienced than you. And start to take time to think about your story. You know, what's happened in your life? What precipitated this thing? What maybe happened at home? What's your background like? Talk to yourself. You know, start to take notes, make a journal.
Go into the roots of things.
Yeah, start to look for what's behind it, what's at the bottom of it. And maybe do that with someone, maybe start to pray with someone and start to think about it a little bit. I mean, obviously, if you're really struggling and you're thinking that life's not worth carrying on with or there's something major, go and seek medical help. There's loads of help out there, loads of really good help through through GP surgeries and through the health service as well. And then take time. And I think the whole thing about responsibility is crucial because actually, we try and make God responsible or other people responsible for stuff that we're responsible for. Mm-hmm. So, you know, only I can forgive if I've been hurt. Only I can choose to let that go, give that back to God. Only I can change how I think. Only I can choose to, you know, eat a different diet, which I did do at one point because I knew I needed to. That was what got me well in that situation. Only I can do those things. No amount of someone else praying will do that for me. And then there's other things, you know, I need other people. I need support. I need love. I need to be in a community where I'm loved. And I need to see what God says. You know, what's he responsible for? Well, you know, he's made me and he's given us his word and he's given us Jesus and he's given us people who can speak into our lives. So let's see what he says. Let's see what's he responsible for that maybe I'm trying to be responsible for. It's a process.
And there's a lot of resources out there to help you. I think this is a really important conversation for us in church community, because often we can have a particular focus, which I love. It's what we're supposed to do, on the supernatural and on healing. And we can have a particular focus on what it means to spiritually grow. Yeah. But God wants us emotionally well, physically well, the whole mentally the whole well, the whole package. That's what we're talking about.
That's in his love.
It's really powerful, Mary. Yeah. You're involved in a project at the moment, Keys to Health and Wholeness. Yeah. You've just been filmed down in London. Tell us about that and if people were interested, how they might find out more.
So I've been involved with Freedom in Christ Ministries for many years, and it was really through their material, which is discipleship material, that I got free. And it's basically what I've been talking about. It's helping you start to understand who God is, who I am, what blocks me from really being free and whole, what can I practically do about that? What do I need to resolve in my life for that? And as a result of that, that's been a lot of the freedom and wholeness for me. So I was chatting with Steve Goss, who's the director of Freedom in Christ, about could we bring together medical teaching and biblical teaching to look at a whole package to teach on wellness for people. And we started looking about 5 years ago and writing it together along with some other people, Lorna, who's coming to the Well, and some of the other doctors. And we ended up with the resource Keys to Health, Wholeness and Fruitfulness we put as well, because actually it's not just about us being well, it's about being fruitful in whatever situation we're in. So it was filmed by TBN in January and it's been televised by them. Best place to get hold of it is on the Freedom in Christ Ministries website. So if you Google freedominchristministries.org/health, you can get all the sessions for free. We've written the book to accompany it, which is like a guide that gives you some questions and things to work through and some steps to health and wholeness you can work through. That's a really good template for looking at these things. We cover a whole range of things. So we talk about identity, we talk about worldview of health, because actually the worldview in Africa is very different to the worldview in the UK. What's a biblical worldview of health and well-being? And then we talk about spirit, mind, emotions, body, and what can influence at those levels. What can we resolve at those levels that can make us more well? We talk about dying well, popular topic. Yes. How to live well with chronic illness.
Not often.
Things that we don't talk about much. And then we look at what would be, if you've got a chronic illness, what would be a really good model for working through some of the issues that arise from that. So I'm just really excited about it, because I my heart is for the church to be equipped with tools that can help bring wholeness. You know, this tool belt of tools that they can use, and it's going to be different at different times for different people. But if we can be well, if the church can be well, then as people come in, that's an amazing resource. You know, wouldn't it be great if in Sheffield that actually it was recognised that if people come here, they can become well, because we've got access to those kind of resources.
So you've written this course for the church, but also to be accessed by
It can be accessed by anybody. It is very much a Christian resource, because actually the truths in it are that, you know, if you don't know Jesus and you don't have access to spiritual life and freedom, then you're never going to get totally whole.
But we found it was interesting when we ran a similar course, Living Well here, about 2 years ago, and we had a number of unbelievers, yes, people who are not Christians.
Yeah.
And I think the attraction was that this applies to everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah. And God's principles work, whatever you believe. So I can use his principles in the surgery with people who don't necessarily believe in him or acknowledge that he's even there. So I can, you know, his truth is truth.
Truth. For everyone.
For everyone.
Yeah, which is really powerful.
And I'd love to do more with that, perhaps adapting some of the teaching for people who've got no awareness. But that's down the line. Yeah.
So it's been great to have you here, Mary. People can access this course, can't they, coming up?
Yeah, for free. Oh, the course,
okay,
yeah.
We're going to run this course here in Sheffield?
Yes. So we're going to run it in February, March time here at the Well.
So you can look out for that.
Yeah, you can look out for
Sheffield,
that.
And you can access it
and
online.
And you can access all the sessions for free online, freedominchrist.org/health. It's also on YouTube, on the Freedom in Christ YouTube channel. And all the sessions for free. The book's available to purchase, and that's how everything else is funded. So
fantastic. Yeah.
That's great to know that's out there. That this is so relevant for life today. So thank you, Mary, so much. Just remember that top tip that Mary gave. If you are struggling today, maybe a great starting point is to just find that wise person, that wise head, share it with that one person. There's something about a load shared, a solution is found. And so do that and make your first step towards being well. Mary, thank you. It's been a pleasure to have you this afternoon.